This month, we're talking about a new series this month entitled Fearless, Finding Your Freedom in God. Everybody say fearless. Come on. Now, this month, I want to ask everybody to really lean in this month. We're going to be doing some discipleship, some prayer, really some preaching and teaching this morning and all month long pertaining to several topics. And so we'll just go ahead and give you an overview of what we're going to be talking about and ministering through the next few weeks. And so next Sunday morning, our topic is going to be finding your freedom from stress, okay? Finding your freedom from stress and issues of the mind, worry, anxiety, attacks that disrupt your peace in life. How many know God doesn't want you to be stressed out all the time? Amen? I'm going to preach on that next Sunday. It's a good opportunity to invite someone to come along with you. The following week, I'm very, very excited about this. The next week following that in this series, we're going to find our freedom from generational trends. Okay, now this is very, very important. This will be a very good week to invite someone you know who needs encouragement and strength to overcome issues and traits that have been affecting them over the course of their lives. Everyone has to manage what has happened to them and where they come from. Amen, everybody. Okay, and so I'm going to be talking about that in a couple of weeks. And then finally, at the conclusion of this month, on October the 30th, we're going to be talking about finding your freedom from sexual sins. Yes, we're going to go there. In church. We're going to talk about it in church. So I'll be saying some things that desperately need to be said that you may be having a hard time talking about in your marriage or in your family or in your community. So you don't want to miss that. Again, we're going to deal with these topics this month. This is what the Lord put on my heart and on the hearts of the staff. We work together to come up with these things. And so we're going to talk about freedom from stress, freedom from generational trends, and freedom from sexual sins this month. But today, we're going to talk about this subject of fear. Now, today, we're talking about finding your freedom from fear. Everybody say fear. As we said a moment ago, October is here, and this is fear month. Did y'all realize that? In fact, this is the time when our society and our culture embraces and celebrates fear. And we need to realize that in doing so, it invites all sorts of darkness and mystical awareness in the name of practical fun, okay? So there's a heightened level of darkness and spiritual warfare that takes place this time every year, especially when you've got your mind made up to pursue the things of God in your family, and when you've got your mind made up to engage in kingdom building with your life, you're going to come under attack. I grabbed this tweet from Dr. Eric Mason the other day that reminded me something very, very important. Here's what he said. He said, those of you wanting to enter a season of great fruitfulness and harvest by the Lord must know and be prepared in these times for waves and waves of spiritual warfare on every level of your life, because the enemy hates kingdom building. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. The enemy hates kingdom building. So you better believe that if you engage in the things of God, he's going to do everything he can do to cast fear and doubt on your life. But I'm not just dealing with the novelties of ghost stories and scary movies and skeletons and pumpkins right now. There's an element of fear that will hinder people's lives. And the enemy works through circumstances, and he even works through other people at times, to cast the kind of fear that intimidates and deceives and can affect your faith and slow you down. And church, it's all in the form of lies that contradict God's word. And church, that kind of fear does not belong in your life. I said that kind does not belong in your life. Amen, everybody. Now, I hope you know this morning that any idea or suggestion about you that says something different than what God says about you is a lie from the accuser. I want to say that just one more time. Anything about you, any idea or suggestion, anything said about you over your life that contradicts the word of God and what God says about you is a lie from the accuser. And when you're facing fears, the kind that intimidate, the kind that deceive, the kind that affect your life of great faith, sometimes you will need to get on the offensive and remind yourself that you have an enemy that is meant to destroy you. Y'all hear me this morning? You have an enemy. And that enemy is a liar, a deceiver, and he is a seducer. And church, hear me. Operating in fear will stop you. It will seduce you. It will deceive you so that your faith is weakened, your effectiveness for God is diminished, and your life can become miserable due to the fear of what might happen to you, of what might happen to your family, or even your ministry. I've seen this many, many times. People who are doing a great work for God, serving, even serving, sometimes I've seen this before, several times, full time in the life of the church, can begin to believe some lie, and fear can come on them, and they'll start making bad decisions the way a husband can, or a wife can, or anybody can, based on fear rather than faith. That's the plan of the accuser. Y'all hear me so far this morning? Jesus said this about the devil. He said the devil was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because in him there is no truth. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. Why? For he is a liar and he is the father of lies. Luke 8 and 44. Thank God that we don't have to listen to the lies of the enemy. Amen, everybody. So to help us get into this principle this morning, we're going to look back at an old famous story from the Old Testament, the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6, beginning at verse number 11. Look on your screen with me, guys. Here's what the verse says from verse 11. And you guys all know this amazing story about Gideon being called to go against the Midianites. He has to face certain fears to do so. Okay, here's what it says from verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And verse number 12 says this, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. But he wasn't acting much like a mighty man of valor, was he? He was threshing his wheat down in the winepress. Now, in order to help us kind of see and understand what that means and what that looks like, I want you to take a look at this picture of an ancient threshing floor. Y'all looking at this? Notice this picture of this ancient threshing floor. This is very interesting. Now, when you have a threshing floor for wheat, this is kind of what they would come to in ancient Israel times. Notice it's a flat floor, but it's got this gate around it. And this was an opportunity for people to come and bring their harvest and celebrate. And what they would do to thresh their wheat is they would have a big celebration and they would dance and they would get in front of everybody and slam their wheat down and beat it against the ground and separate the wheat from the chaff by singing and dancing and working together to gather the harvest. This is a public arena for celebration and celebration of the harvest. This is where Gideon should have been, where everybody else. But now look at the picture of an ancient wine press. Notice this picture of an ancient wine press. Gideon was not open to being in the public on the threshing floor. The Bible says he was down inside this thing here. Look at the little steps there. Now this is where the people who grew the grapes and made the wine would bring the grapes and they would throw them into the basin here in the public wine press, and they would climb down inside of this bowl, this basin, and they would dance and stomp and step all over the grapes, and that process would separate the juice from the grape hull, and the juice would run out through holes in the floor and be gathered up. Notice this. Gideon should have been out in public with everybody else, but instead he was down there hiding in the winepress, threshing his wheat for fear of the Midianites and what might happen to them. And that brings me to the very first thing I want to point out this morning about the fear that we deal with in life. And here it is. You can read this on your screen. The danger of living in fear is that fear halts or stops your life. Fear will cause you to hide. Fear will cause you to hide. It shuts you up and disables you from living and believing like God expects you to live and believe. And I'm not just talking about hiding physically this morning. Fear can cause you to get really good at hiding in public. How many know what I'm talking about right there? You can become so good through fear and over time of hiding in public when fear causes you to become insecure due to intimidation, insecure due to self-doubt. You can learn to hide right in the middle of a conversation, right in the middle of being around everybody else. Your insecurities will prevent you from stepping out, from taking up your space, from having the voice that God intends for you to have, from doing and engaging the things that God intends for you to do. Fear will rule your life and maybe even cause you to say no when God is saying yes. Fear, intimidation, and insecurities from that fear can cause you to hide right in the middle of a crowd. Amen. God could be calling you to engage in his mission, to do something great, to express great love to somebody who really, really needs it. Maybe calling you to even share the gospel with somebody who's unsaved and who needs to hear the message of hope in Jesus Christ. God could be calling you. Come on, everybody say that's me right now. Come on. God could be calling you to have the kind of courage that it takes to stretch yourself and to go beyond what you thought you could do, and fear will stop you right in your tracks. And you'll be tempted to discount yourself and wonder why someone else gets all the opportunities. And later on in life, if you do this long enough, you'll even wonder at times why God never blessed you, never used you, never allowed you to be engaged in anything wonderful and life-changing. Why? Well, it's not that he didn't call you. It's just that you let fear stop you from doing the things that God wanted you to do. God does not want you to be bound up in that kind of fear in your life. I talk to people all the time who desperately need to develop the confidence and the security of knowing who they are in the Lord so that they can step out and finally take up their space, have a voice that's heard, be used of God for great and mighty things, and not cower down to every little lie and suggestion of the enemy that comes into their life. It's time to get victory over those lies today. It's time to find your freedom in what the Word of God says how you should handle fear in your life. Come on, if you receive it right now, give him claps right now. Come on, give him praise. It'll stop you right in your tracks. A few things about fear straight from our story this morning. And we need to see what's happening here and how to defeat it. Fear, number one, fear can cause you to question God. Y'all see that? Fear can cause you to question God. Look at your scripture in Judges 16 and 13a. Gideon said to him, this was Gideon's response to the Lord calling him out of the wine press. Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord." Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked at a situation or a circumstance in your life and the best you could do is, "Oh, my Lord." I'm talking to you right now. Come on. "Oh, my Lord, what next? Oh, my goodness, what are we going to do?" Look what Gideon, he questioned God. He said, "Oh, my Lord, if..." There is a dangerous thing when you go to the Lord with "if." "If the Lord is with us, why has this happened?" That's just part one of the complaining and the worrying about God. He said, "And where are the miracles that our fathers told us about?" Oh, my goodness, goodness. I could go a long way on that one right there. But it causes us sometimes, fear, to question God. "Lord, why is this happening? How could you allow this thing to happen?" This seems to me to be the first thing many people do when they face uncertain situations. They begin to ask God why. They begin to ask God how something could be happening. You know, people frequently, they come to me and they want to know about the fact that they're disappointed with God because they perceive that he has somehow done them wrong. Maybe you've been there before. I want to remind you this morning, God hasn't done you wrong. God is faithful. I said, God is faithful and he loves you. Next time you begin to feel like God has done you wrong and you begin to fear that God has turned his back on you, remind yourself of the faithfulness and the goodness of God. How what he said about never turning away from you, about never leaving you alone, about the fact that he's always with you no matter what you're going through. Can you receive it this morning? God is faithful, and his ways are higher than our ways. Remind yourself of that. How does that look? What does that look like in our life? It looks like this. Well, when fear comes on you and you don't understand and you're tempted to begin to question God, you need to remind yourself of that wonderful principle right there. Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't have to understand. All I have to do is believe and have faith in you and what you said you would do. Your ways are higher than my ways. That means sometimes some things are going to go on in life that you don't understand. I believe God would have me remind you this morning that you don't have to understand them. You just have to trust in God and be assured that his word is true. Amen, everybody. Number two, fear can cause you to blame God. I don't want you to raise your hand, but just think about this. Just about everyone that I know has been through something, and one of their first inclinations has been to blame God for their feeling or their suffering or their disappointment or their disillusionment. Maybe you've been through something where you just feel like saying, God, why? Fear causes you to blame God. Look at Judges 6:13b. He continued to tell the Lord, but now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Well, he blamed God. I want you to notice something here about blaming God. Notice that fear and blaming God nearly always involves believing lies. When you begin to turn your eyes off of truth, you turn it off of God. Because Jesus said, I am the truth. When you turn your eyes off of truth, you turn it off of God. And when you blame him, it's fear. It nearly always involves you believing some kind of lie. Gideon said in this scripture, he said, the Lord has forsaken us. Well, that's exactly what the enemy wanted him to believe. That's the first lie that the enemy wants you to believe. That you need to be afraid because somehow, because you're facing something difficult, God has left you all alone. The enemy will whisper into your ears, God isn't with you right now. The enemy will whisper in your ears, there's something going on inside of you. There's something unseen, something unknown that has driven God away from you and your circumstance. The enemy will whisper this. Church, hear me. Your freedom from fear comes when you learn this morning. Learn it. Learn to reject this lie and stand on the truth that God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That he is your heavenly Father who loves you, and he is always there giving to you and sacrificing for you and making sure that you have everything that you need to overcome and to make you more than a conqueror through him who loves you. Amen. I'll tell you this, you need to make up your mind this morning to be free from the fears that are costing you opportunities to make a difference with your life. And the next time you begin to discount yourself, to blame God, next time you begin to question God, stand firm in your talk, stand firm in your faith in what you know about the Word of God, and begin to confess better confessions. You got to open your mouth and do the battle that it takes. Parents, you need to do this over your kids. If all your kids ever see you do is suffer and battle and weep and complain and whine about it, guess what they're going to do when they grow up? They're going to be whiners instead of winners. But if they see the man or woman of God rise up in victory and hope, and even though it don't look very good and your circumstances are creeping up upon you and you're having to travail some difficult times, if they see you, mom and dad, rise up and say, you know what? It don't matter what's going on around us. We're going to believe in what the Word of God says and be people who know how to count on the Word of the living God and trust in our Heavenly Father for victory and for winning. Amen. Then when they grow up, guess what they'll do? Little Johnny will grow up. And little Johnny's going to do one of two things. He's going to want to pout around and complain, or somebody who knows how to arise and square their shoulders and do some damage. Y'all ain't saying a good enough amen right there. Come on. And he's going to be that way based on the example that we set for little Johnny. Come on, if y'all receive it, say, I receive it. Come on. Number three. Is that just two? Fear, number three, fear can cause you to doubt God. Judges 6:14, Gideon still, he's having this conversation with the Lord. Fear can cause you to doubt God. Look at 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. Again, notice that the Lord is trying to establish in him the fact that he's got something going on the inside that he's not recognizing that he has. The second time in this conversation, God has instilled in him, you are a person of valor. Y'all hear me now? But he's still not understanding it and still not believing it about himself, and that's causing him to doubt God. The Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. And look what he did. And you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Look at the question. Have I not sent you? It's almost like God is just wanting him to get out of that wine press, and he's wanting to know, how long are you going to stay right there where you are? Have I not sent you? It's like some of us in this room this morning. I can hear God into your life right now. Have I not emboldened you? Have I not equipped you? Have I not filled you with my spirit and empowered you to face this world and face your enemy and do some battle? Have I not sent you? Why don't you get out of your wine press this morning and say yes to God and begin to believe that you've got something on the inside? Come on. God's trying to convince Gideon that he's been called to something great. But Gideon is so busy being afraid that he doubts what God is saying. This is the ancient tactic of the enemy that's been going on since the Garden of Eden. When the serpent said to the woman, has God truly said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And then at that moment, mankind doubted what God said. And I want you to know this morning that freedom from fear will come into your life when you learn to receive and believe what God says about you, and receive and believe what he says about how you should live and what you should do. How do you do that? I'm going to show you. But first, finally, number four, fear, this is the worst one. Fear can cause you to doubt yourself. Fear can cause you to doubt yourself. Notice Gideon in Judges 6:15. So he said to him, this is his response. God's trying to get him out of that wine press. Come, God's trying to pull him out from hiding. And here's his response. So he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Well, boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. Fear causes you to doubt yourself. Oh, I've done that, haven't you? I've been that excuse maker when I was weak in my own self-confidence. Now listen, I'm not going to tell you that self-confidence is always a good thing when you're placing your faith in self. But when you place your faith in God and what he can do through you, self-confidence is a powerful thing. And here we are. And just like Gideon, most of us, instead of realizing that God's got something great for us to do, a great way for us to live, a great way to be, what we default to in our life is excuse-making, just like Gideon. We'll say it, well, I've just been through so much. You don't understand what's happened to me. You don't understand how I was brought up. You don't understand my clan. You don't understand my level of weakness, my level of education. You don't understand how much money I have or don't have. You don't Listen, I don't have to understand it. All I understand is this. God is not concerned with any circumstance. He's only concerned with you believing what he can do through you. See, he's calling on some people to face some fears and finally get free from fear and intimidation in their life by being willing to stand up and say, you know what? I might have been raised up poor. I might have been neglected. I may have been abused. I may have been left all alone from people who said they would never hurt me. I may have been abused and left alone from people who said they loved me. But you know what? I'm not worried about what they did to my life because I now trust in the one who will never hurt me, who will never leave me, who has nothing but love love and provision and power and strength for me, the one who loved me enough to give his only son to a cross to shed his blood and die so that I could believe and be reconciled back to him. That's the one in whom I put my trust. Come on, somebody. Notice how Gideon finally got to the heart of the matter. He worked through all of the outer excuses that fear had laid down for him. And he finally had to begin to land on the main thing that was his problem. He didn't believe that he was able. Gideon looked to the outside circumstance to determine his own strength, instead of realizing that God had placed the special stuff on the inside. Everybody say special stuff. Come on. Oh, he looked around and he probably counted the money, and he looked around at his past, and he looked around at the weaknesses and what his clan had been through, and he looked around and saw all of the outside influences that had affected him that caused him, landed him in the bottom of a basin, hiding out. He didn't realize that all of those circumstances outside influences didn't matter to God. God had already put inside him the stuff he needed. He forgot to remember, look at this on your screen, he forgot to remember this: you can be fearless because of God's promise, his presence, and his power. Praise God, somebody. Can I get anybody in here to receive that this morning? Here's what the Lord said to him in 16. We're almost done. Watch it close. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. I'll be with you, and you'll defeat the Midianites as one man. In other words, God told Gideon this. If you get anything today, get this. God told Gideon this. If you'll just fight this fear and believe what I'm saying, you're going to find out that when you face this battle, you plus me is all that is needed. You plus me is all it's going to take. Come on, somebody. It reminds me of the promise God made to another great leader in Israel's history, Joshua. From Joshua 1 and 9, a scripture you all know, I want to remind you that today, look at your screen. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Thank God. Look at these facts about fearless faith. I just want to run through these real quick on your screen. I want you to receive these statements. People with fearless faith learn not to question God. Man's wisdom may tell you that the circumstances look scary, that they look ominous, that you need to tread through life carefully, but your faith doesn't stand in what man says. Your faith stands in what God says. Amen. People with faith, fearless faith, number two, learn not to blame God. People with fearless faith learn not to blame God. Church, hear me. When this truth kicks into your life and you face daunting circumstances, you'll have another gear. That gear will kick in and kick into faith instead of fear. When the prophet Habakkuk questioned God and asked God why, he had looked at his surroundings and his government and his country. He found nothing but injustice and garbage going on. And he said, God, why? How long are you going to allow these things to happen? God told him this. God told Habakkuk, look at your nation and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm about to do something in your day that you would not believe even if I told you. Come on, somebody. Next, people with fearless faith learn not to doubt God. If this is your issue right now, or when you're faced with uncertain circumstances, I challenge you. I challenge you to do a deep dive into the Word of God and remind yourself of the promises of God. Come on, your faith gear will kick in and fear will have to go. Good place to start is Isaiah 41 and 10. It just says, fear not, for I am with you. Nor be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Come on, y'all receive that today? Come on. And finally today, People with fearless faith learn not to doubt themselves. See, self-doubt, hear me, guys, self-doubt will paralyze your life faster than any other type of fear. Because it attacks your mind. It causes you to view your own life in comparison with how and what God is doing with other people. Have you ever done that? Well, I just feel like I'm not as good, or I'm not as able, I'm not as talented, I'm not as good looking, I'm not as rich. I just can't do this. I can't do what he or she can. Look, that's dangerous. That comparison issue is a trap of Satan. It'll cause you to live without peace about who you are and who God is. It'll cause you to discount yourself and feel inferior. And that's not God's plan. See, this is a particularly nasty type of fear, self-doubt. And we're going to deal with that in prayer in a moment. But I want to leave you with this today. There's a scripture we're going to go to right now that helps us understand what to do about self-doubt and other fears. One that you know, but we're going to be reminded. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says this. Be anxious for nothing. I said be anxious for nothing. We're going to talk about this next week in a little bit more detail, but anxious comes in a root of the derivative of the word anxiety. Okay? Anxiety is all about fear. Okay? And scripture here is saying, fear nothing or be anxious for nothing. There's something to do instead of being anxious about things. It's when you're timid. It's when you're slowed down. It's when you're afraid to take a step, afraid to talk to somebody. It's when you're afraid to, here's a good one that we're dealing with this month and last month in our stewardship, when you're afraid to give and be generous even. Okay? Because of what the bank book looks like or what's going on, or here, what bills are due. Listen, I just got back from a stewardship conference this week, and I believe now more than ever that this church right here is going to become the church that's equipped and able to help other churches in our county that needs help. Amen, everybody. Amen. I believe it like it's, I believe I'm standing here. Okay, it's going to take people becoming radically generous and trusting and believing God. Amen. And it's fear that causes us not to do those things and not to become part of something special. Amen, everybody. We're going to battle that. Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I've always wondered about that. How do you come to God with thanksgiving and a request? Usually we're conditioned to only say thanks after we receive something. But here the word says, you know what? Go to him with a request coupled with your thanksgiving. Here's what I gather from that. You may not have received it yet, but go ahead and start thanking him for it. Well, if you're battling these emotions and this anxiety and these fears, it's a good prayer. Lord, thank you that I no longer am afraid. Thank you that I'm no longer intimidated. I thank you that today I'm no longer affected by the negativity and the garbage and the things that have been holding me back. God, right now in Jesus' name, I go ahead and thank you for my freedom. I thank you for my deliverance. I thank you for my liberality right now, Lord Jesus. I thank you for setting me free. You may have come in here intimidated and bound in fear this morning and unable to see what God sees in you and what he wants to do in your life and through you. But today, take your prayers and your supplication with thanks. Let it be made known to God. And here's what the word says he'll do. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. That's another teaching. It just means I've got peace and don't know why. Will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Look at this, church, and we're closing. When you express trust to God, he floods your life with unusual peace. Can y'all see that? When you express trust to God, he floods your life with unusual peace. And it's in that state of peace that you begin to feel confident again. That God is with you, confident that God is in you, confident that he is around you, and confident that God is for you. Come on, y'all receive it this morning. If you've been edified by this today, come on, give him the best praise you can right now.